This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Final Four gets going today. Women's Final Four tip-off show, 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Then NC State, South Carolina, UConn, and Iowa. We are Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. So we've got two teams, guys, men's and women's, that have been dominant this year. UConn on the men's side, defending champ, South Carolina on the women's side. And it's interesting with UConn. They have won every single game this tournament by double digits. They've had at least a 30-point lead in every single one of the games, which is just unheard of. And while I think we're giving them the proper respect, we have not kind of deemed this a foregone conclusion that they're going to win at all. I don't think. And maybe even the same. You think we have, Smalls?
I have, personally. After watching them up close and personal in Boston when they absolutely dismantled the number one offense in the country, Fighting Illini, I don't know how any team is going to be able to beat them. How do you attack Donovan Clingan? You can't. So in my mind, it is a foregone conclusion that UConn is going to win on the men's side.
Is it the same on the women's side with an undefeated South Carolina team?
It feels that way, doesn't it? It feels
so
that way.
So we have two titles already set, is what we're saying here.
Yeah, no matter who comes out of the other side of the bracket, like Paige Beckers in UConn or Caitlin Clark in Iowa, it feels like this is South Carolina's title to lose. Like, they've been the best team in women's college basketball all season long, and I don't see any reason to move off of that. Like, I mean, their starting five is absolutely dominant.
Yes.
Absolutely dominant. Like, we everybody focuses on Camilla Cardoza, but they got Ashlyn Watkins. They got Tahini Pau-Pau. They've got Breezy Hall. They got Malaysia for Wiley. Like, they've got hoopers. You know what I mean? Like they have players that can start at any program in the country. And so I just think the intensity, the physicality that they play with is unmatched, and that's going to be problematic for whoever they face off against in this Final Four.
Yeah, I don't want to be disrespectful on the men's side in any way, but when UConn and Danny Hurley says this team is bulletproof, I believe them.
Yeah.
They have not trailed for more than 30 seconds this entire tournament. As Evan pointed out, they have been absolutely dominant in the way that they're beating teams. And not that South Carolina hasn't, an undefeated South Carolina team, but I guess when I just look at the potential matchup that they could have, I'm not going to count out Caitlin Clark. I'm never going to count out Caitlin Clark. And how could I also count out potentially a Gino Auriemma and a UConn program that has been dominant since Gino has taken over? Now, again, I didn't mean it to be disrespectful on the men's side and say that if UConn advances, that I don't think Purdue or NC State has a chance against them, but yeah. I don't think Purdue or NC State really has a chance against them.
I don't know that there's anything you could say, Smalls, that people would find to be disrespectful. I'm trying to think, like, if Smalls said the most Midwest say. Michelle, if Smalls said the most insulting thing in the world to anyone, I feel like everybody would be like, well, it's Michelle. She's nice. I don't mean to be disrespectful. No one has ever thought that Michelle Smallman is disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I'm just pointing that out.
I don't know. I throw a lot of shade towards the Rams. I think I'm pretty disrespectful to the Rams.
You know what? Good point. I take everything back.
And I mean it with all disrespect. I'm not trying to be polite. I also think I throw a lot of shade at the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But that's just me being a hater, not trying to... I mean, there's no way I can disrespect them. They're
what
awesome.
About the Rogers shade?
There's some shade. I would say what you have said is a little bit more with your chest, and he might find that disrespectful. I'm just really backing you. I'm standing behind you going,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, per sources close to me, Nuno just got in my ear. Are you disrespectful towards Pat?
No,
when
I think
you're saying that Pat doesn't realize that he's been cheated on many times in his life. Pat Costello, our producer.
No, I actually think that I am more respectful towards Pat because you always need someone in your life who's going to tell it to you straight.
That's
I actually think that is a sign of kindness and respect to just tell somebody what they might not want to hear. Case in point, you may have been cheated on and you just don't know it. I think that is towards anybody.
He's not very confident
in the modern world. You can say that towards anybody.
So, Smalls, does somebody want to tell Nate Oates in Alabama what they don't want to hear which is that they ain't got a snowball's chance in hell against UConn this weekend.
Doesn't he know that? I mean, he literally came on with us and said he has to pray.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
When, I think he knows that.
When prayer is part of your game plan, and you say that on national radio and television, I think you're aware.
Somebody must have told him that already.
That they are. And honestly, I'm a little disappointed.
Tape told him that. Is what, yeah. Oh, we're watching tape. We don't have a shot.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm a little disappointed Illinois didn't work in more prayer into their game plan, because maybe that could have helped during that 30-0 run.
So if I said to you guys right now, you got to go to ESPN Bet, and you can only bet on one of these two teams to win it all, which one are you going to bet on? UConn men's or South Carolina women's?
UConn men's, no doubt about it. Ooh. They have been so incredibly dominant. I can't see any of the three teams remaining taking them down. And I know it's March, and I know the unpredictable happens in the tournament, but with what I have seen out of them so far, I just don't think anyone can keep up with them.
CeCe, before you answer, can I just poke one hole in this? I just want to see if I could poke one hole in Smalls' answer here.
Okay.
How about the rarity? And I know it has nothing to do with this year's UConn team, but how about the rarity of winning back-to-back? Right? I mean, we saw it with Florida in 06 and 07. We saw it with Duke prior to that. But that's it, like, in our lifetime. CeCe can probably tell us better than anybody how tough that next year after winning the Super Bowl is for a team. How about that part of it, Smalls, that it's really hard to win back-to-back?
I know that the odds are not in their favor with repeating, but they have been so dominant during this tournament run. They've been more dominant in this tournament than they were last year, Evan. So maybe if they were tested a little bit along the way, I would say I've seen a little bit of vulnerability in this part of their game, and I don't know if they're going to be able to have that continuity through the national championship game. But what part of any of Connecticut's game or what you've seen has made them falter? Even when Illinois started to claw back in the first half, they were still up by 5, and then they continued that into the second half for a 30-0 run on the best offense in the country. They are unflappable. They are just completely dominant. And again, I don't know how any team is going to have an answer for Klingon. I want to nickname him the Moat, because you cannot get to the basket. You can't get around him to get to your desired destination.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here looking at the odds on ESPN Bet. Both South Carolina's women's and UConn's men's are minus 200 to win the national championship. Now, in the women's bracket, Iowa is the closest team at plus 275. Mm-hmm. In the men's bracket, Purdue is the second closest team with plus 210. So I guess South Carolina is slightly more favored to win the national championship, or there's a bigger gap in between South Carolina and the second best team in the women's bracket in comparison to UConn in the men's bracket. So I guess when we start boiling down the runs that both of these teams have been on, the seasons that both of these programs have been able to put together, both have been the most dominant teams in all of basketball. But I would give the slight edge to South Carolina because they've been able to do it wire to wire and be unfettered with the perfect record.
Okay, let me try to poke a hole in that one now, CeCe. So a lot of times the NCAA tournament, it's the one person that can carry a team, right? Like we saw dating back, Danny Manning in 88 with Kansas, Carmelo Anthony in, what, 03, 04, whatever it was, with Syracuse. Like, we've seen where one individual great player, sometimes in a tournament like this, can beat that team. I don't think we have that on the men's side to necessarily beat UConn. Zach Edey is obviously great. DJ Burns, great.
He just dropped 40 in the Elite Eight.
I know, but I think we do have it on the women's side. I mean, Caitlin Clark or Paige Beckers going on that dominant individual run maybe to beat South Carolina. Any part of you question if that could happen?
It's not going to look like that. Like what Caitlin Clark did against LSU, that's not going to happen against Don Staley's South Carolina team. It's just not. It's a different animal. It is more physical. It is more in your face. It is more intense. Ain't no Haley Van Litz out there on the South Carolina team.
Haley.
I'm just saying.
There may be next year. Exist. She's transferring.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Enter the portal, yeah.
I don't know if she's going to get no burn on Don Staley's team. Not that team.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you had to go right now on ESPN Bet, and you can only bet on one team to win a title, you either get the UConn men's or South Carolina women, which team do you have more confidence in winning that title? Of course, the game's tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, is the tip-off special, and then NC State, South Carolina at 7 p.m. Eastern, UConn and Iowa at 9 p.m. Eastern, or after the first game tonight from Cleveland here on ESPN. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, UConn men's or South Carolina women's. Now, If I said to you it's not those two, which team, men's or women's, do you have the most confidence in if it's not one of those two? In other words, what team could you sit there and say, you know what, it wouldn't shock me on Sunday or Monday to see this team cutting down the nets?
On the women's side, Iowa, because of Caitlin Clark and her ability to take over a game and win it. That's why, even though South Carolina has clearly been dominant, they're undefeated all season, and you don't want to pick against them, I could see Caitlin Clark being the one to find a way. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she got through LSU and now she's going up against UConn, the school that she loved but that didn't want her. If she's able to beat them, this just has kind of the makings of one of those fairy tale runs for her to close out her collegiate season. I could see that happening. And on the men's side, I'd have to go with Purdue. Just, I could imagine Zach Edey being absolutely dominant and somehow finding away, even though I wouldn't put money on it.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
If you had to pick somebody,
on the men's side,
wait, are you going as far, even though you have more confidence in South Carolina CC, are you going as far to say these two are the only two that could win a title? Like, you're not even comfortable. Wow.
Yeah.
Because I would be comfortable. See, to me, I feel like three on the women's side, two on the men's side is how I go. I go either UConn or Iowa, and obviously South Carolina, and then I would go UConn or Purdue on the men's side.
No, I don't think either one of them are going to lose.
Oh, you're really saying it's over?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope you're wrong.
I want to be wrong.
I want some drama.
I want drama, I want theater, but I don't think I will be.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you probably
won't.
Both of those teams are too close, and they can taste it. They're too close. They're too close. Too close.
That is remarkable.
They might have been
over.
Able to get got in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. You ain't going to get them here. No. Not going to have them.
Well, watch tonight. Even though it's over.
I think the better chance. I will say this. The better chance is on the women's side of the bracket. Better chance, because of Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark. Like you said, Ev, the individual stars, there's the better chance on that side of the bracket. But saying it's a better chance.
You went from zero to one. Yeah, is that what happened?
Like, how much better? Like how much better?
Wow,
it's very underwhelming.
Wow, yeah. Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. Coming up, Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reporter, will join us. What happened yesterday with Steph Diggs' contract, and what's been the fallout with CC versus the world around Aaron Rodgers? We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Dan Graziano is here, ESPN NFL reporter, always kind enough to join us. Dan, let's go right into this Steph Diggs trade that we saw this week. Trade was made 2 days ago. He goes to the Texans. Yesterday, we learned about the alteration of the contract and making it into a one-year deal. Do you feel better or worse about the Steph Diggs deal from the Texans' perspective after the information that came out yesterday?
Well, worse. I mean, they got less value, right? Like, they only a 1 year deal for a second round pick. Like, they're going to need him to play great. Now, he's a great player, so they're banking on that. But yeah, I think what they got in return lost value when they made that move. It helps them on their 2025 salary cap. And a lot of teams are worried right now because they're not anticipating another $30 million jump in the salary cap next year. So they want to make sure they're covered there. So I understand why they did it. And it also may have the effect of sort of keeping Diggs, you know, locked in, motivated, whatever. But yeah, I mean, the idea of possibly having had him for $18 million in 2025, if he played well, would have been better for the team. It's a huge win for the player.
Graz, looking at it from the other side on this trade, the Buffalo Bills, Brandon Bean, their general manager, came out and says, we're probably not a better team after trading away Stephon Diggs. What have you heard in terms of their plan to replace that production in their offense?
Well, I think the draft is where they're focused, right? Like, it's supposed to be a very wide receiver rich draft, and they pick late in the first round, but Bean has shown a willingness and an ability to move up for players that he really likes in the past, and so I wouldn't be surprised to see some of that kind of maneuvering if a guy they really like is falling close to them. But everything you hear from everybody who studied this draft is about the depth at the wide receiver position. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them come out with two guys that they feel decent about in this draft, or maybe more. So Dalton Kincaid, the tight end they drafted in the first round last year, they see him as kind of a versatile guy that can function as in many ways as a wide receiver. And they signed Curtis Samuel. So they're in a transition mode. The nice thing about Brandon Bean is he's going to give it to you straight, right? We're not better today. Trading away Stephon Diggs, but this is a front office and a coaching staff that I think has shown itself to be pretty adept at solving problems and overcoming issues. And so I think, you know, they'll figure it out.
With all that being said, Dan, do your expectations for what the Bills should be this year change at all with this move, or do you still think that they can win the division?
Well, I think I can answer yes to both questions, right? I do think they can win the division, but I think they're going to have to do it differently. They're at this point now, when we see all these teams get to this point, the Chiefs did a couple of years ago, where you're paying the quarterback and you have to make other tough decisions on the roster. The Chiefs have obviously weathered that very well as a result of the quality they have at the quarterback and in the coaching staff. So the Bills have those advantages. If Josh Allen takes a step in terms of, you know, whatever Mahomes did when they traded Tyreek Hill, whatever that was, whether that was a leadership thing, whether that was evolving his game in different ways, then I think they'll be fine and they'll continue to move forward and it'll just look a little bit different. But there's no choice. I mean, if you're going to pay the quarterback at the top of the market, eventually you're going to have to make these kinds of decisions. And if you want to continue winning, you're just going to have to find a different way. Like what the Texans are doing is cool, but there's no like art to it. Right. We'll spend whatever we want to get Danielle Hunter. We don't care about taking on $22 million worth of Stephon Diggs. Like, we have the cheap quarterback on the rookie deal. Things will get tougher for them, assuming C.J. Stroud continues to progress in 3-4 years. Right now, they're in that honeymoon period.
Graz, and we're talking with Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reporter. Isn't that the art to it, is finding the quarterback on the rookie deal?
Well, I mean, but there's some element of chance to that, right? I mean, think about it. If the Texans had lost their final game of the 2022 season, they probably take Bryce Young with the number one overall pick, right? So there's some element of chance to that. Yes, you have to scout and identify the quarterback and hopefully you get it right, but that's a shot in the dark to a certain extent. I mean, teams want to convince themselves and fans want to convince themselves they know how these guys are going to play, but they don't. And so the Texans, I think, would tell you that they were fortunate to get CJ Stroud where they got him, and they're trying to take advantage of that break.
Graz, earlier in the week we had Adam Schefter on the show, and he was talking about the impact of Michael Penix Jr.'s pro day and how there are people in league circles that firmly believe that he is going to be a first-round quarterback. What are you hearing about the draft prospects of Michael Penix Jr., and where does he rank when it comes to the elite prospects in this class?
So I think, you know, you have your top three, right? And it seems like J.J. McCarthy has kind of made himself a strong number four through this process. But Penix is an interesting guy who probably a candidate for that fifth spot, and there may be teams that like him better than they like McCarthy. Eye of the beholder, as always, with quarterback. But Penix is, I think, seen as someone with first-round ability. The questions about him have been about his health. You know, he's had multiple season-ending injuries. He's had multiple ACLs. So past injury can be a predictor of future injury. So I'm confident there are teams that look at Michael Penix and go, oh, no, we're not going to touch that. Like, that's just not interesting.
So they just take him off the draft board.
Or there's no way we're going to take him where he's going to go, right? Okay. Like, maybe we would take a risk on him in a later round, but we're not going to use a first-round pick on him. There are teams that are willing to take the risk because the upside at quarterback is so significant, and he's a guy that throws the ball maybe better than any other quarterback in the draft, like in terms of a pure thrower. He has enticed. I would not be surprised to see him go in the first round. I would not be surprised to see him drop. The health questions based on his history. He's healthy right now. I always feel like I have to say that when we're talking about Michael Penix. Like, he has checked out, as I understand it, healthy through the entire draft process. So he's healthy right now. The health concerns with him are he's always had a propensity for injury. That can lead to future injuries. And so maybe we need to be cautious. That's why we're not talking about him as like a top five guy.
Guys, just to follow up on that, I mean, it seems like there's a huge range in terms of where Penix can be taken.
Sure.
Does he have the biggest range of any prospect in his class in terms of where he could go?
Yeah, him and Bo Nix, I think, are that fifth and sixth quarterback in some order. So could you see, like, if the top four guys are gone, could you see like the Raiders or the Vikings or the Broncos take one or both of those guys in that range? Yeah. But also that feels a little high maybe for those guys. So you could also see them tumbling into the second round where those teams are picking up near the top of the round again.
Dan, let's stick with the quarterbacks in the draft. There's been conflicting interest between Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Some people have Drake May number two. Some people mm-hmm. have Jaden Daniels number two. What's the sense of what you're getting? Because it feels like Caleb Williams to the Bears is in Sharpie at number one overall. What's the sense you're getting between those two quarterbacks as to who's higher in the hierarchy?
Well, it really all depends on who's higher in Washington's hierarchy, right? Sure. I mean, that's all that matters. And they've been very secretive and very close to the vest. I don't know anyone who has a strong... Well, there are people who are convinced it's Daniels, but I don't know what they're basing that on. I don't think Washington has tipped its hand, and I think they're going through their process and evaluating both guys. And by the way, J.J. McCarthy, who I think is someone of interest to them as well. So I think most people I talk to like Daniels more than May because of the year he just had, because they feel he's a little further along in his development. But... You know, May has the prototypical size. He has tools that you feel like you can build with. So it really is a question of what Washington decides it wants at that number two pick. And I know New England's sitting there at number three, eager to find out the answer.
Graz, I was going to ask you about the CC Greeny Aaron Rodgers leadership debate here, but you just dropped a little nugget. Are you saying that J.J. McCarthy still is in play for Washington at two?
I don't necessarily believe that J.J. McCarthy is where Washington will land at number two, but I know that they're taking a look at him because they're doing their due diligence on all these guys. They're taking a look at Caleb Williams in case something goes weird with him and the Bears, but as of now, we don't think Caleb Williams is taking any more visits besides the Chicago one, so that the drama seems to have been sapped from that.
Graz, as we move closer to the draft, you see veteran players potentially on the move via trade. We just saw it with Steph Diggs this week. Give us another name that could be moved before or at the draft.
Well, I think the Niners have said they don't want to trade Brandon Ayuk, and they've shown an ability to get deals done with players they want to keep. So, I take them at their word, but depending on what happens with these other wide receiver contracts, like if Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb sign for numbers that are very high, then maybe the Niners change their opinion and they don't think they can sign Ayuk to the deal that would make him happy. And maybe he becomes a guy that gets traded during the draft. They've done trades during the draft in recent years. I think they acquired Trent Williams on day three of the draft a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So they're always active like that. And the other one we're watching is T. Higgins. The Bengals also don't want to trade him. But depending on what happens, I don't know when Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb are going to get their contracts. My sense is it's probably not going to be before the draft because teams are busy with draft right now and they're not doing contract extensions. But if something were to happen where that wide receiver market were to go, you know, skyrocket a little bit, then maybe it changes the perspective of those teams. Or maybe they find out, maybe one of the players decides to make it ugly, right? And the teams become convinced that the guy's not going to want to play for them. So those are the two big names I think we're watching. Although, again, the teams are both insistent that they don't want to move them.
Graz, great job. Thank you, as always. We do appreciate it, and tons of great information. Dan Graziano will be on a Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, is this the Dan Orlovsky song? Hey, Wipe Me Down?
Wipe Me Down.
Because the wipers?
Wipe Me Down. Wipe Me Down.
Oh, my God.
He got one more time. We're giving him the benefit of the doubt twice with the fart noises. He got one more time. One more time, and then all of a sudden we can't defend him.
You know,
he's a friend of the show, but we can't defend him.
Three strikes and you're out?
Three strike rule.
Well, it's interesting. Speaking of Orlovsky, you know, on Wednesday, we did our ESPN, and we do our ESPN personality draft every single Wednesday. And this week, we did the top three ESPN personalities you'd want to invite to your party, right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I picked two of my three included Orlovsky and Greeny. Both have since publicly questioned why I picked them, which is just wonderful. I mean, it really makes you feel good about your party that you're going to have. Orlovsky on Twitter asking the question as to why I did it, and then Greeny on his show yesterday asking the question. I could have sworn, maybe I'm wrong, guys, that I prefaced the whole thing by saying, I'm looking for complainers, for kvetchers. I'm looking for the Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld mentality for a party, hence why I picked those two.
Yeah, because that's
Isn't that a good qualifier for them?
Yeah, that's usually the formula for a good party. Let's gather all the complainers together.
So it's no a terrible ever. Qualifier. Yeah,
so no but it's, ever. Well, it's Pat, it doesn't matter if it's a good qualifier. It was a qualifier, right? That was the reason I gave for them.
You did. And meanwhile, my number one pick, Marcus Spears, quote tweeted us and said, he says, we turnt shell, you already know. So which party do you want to go to?
I think I'm going to go to Smalls' party.
Marcus Spears saying, we're turnt, you already know, or Evan's party, where the people he picked are saying, why did you pick me?
So hold on. So I have a question. So is their reaction, Greeny and Orlovsky, about themselves, or are they telling on you, like saying, I don't want to go to Evan's party?
Oh.
Like, I'm just trying to figure
this out. That's a good question. Ooh. So Orlovsky doesn't know me. Greeny knows me. Right? So I think, like, I've literally never spoken to Dan Orlovsky, I don't think, in my life. So I don't know how he could question me as the person. I have had a meal with Greeny. I've been around Greeny a ton. So Greeny can absolutely question me. I do think, and maybe I'm wrong, that they're more so questioning themselves.
No, because, well, Orlovsky listens. We know he listens. He enjoys it. So,
hi, Dan.
Exactly. What's up, Orlovsky? Like, so he know, like, your personality has shined throughout the first six months, right?
Is that the word you use?
Yeah, personality. That's a personality draft. Right? Your personality has shined throughout this, the shine part? So maybe he's gathered based upon what he's heard from you being like, I don't know if I want to hang out with Evan here. I'm not saying I enjoyed hanging out. When we hung out, like, I enjoyed hanging out with
you. I don't want to hang out with me. I don't want to hang out with me. Like, I'm the last person I want to hang out with. I'm stuck. I have to be with me for the rest of my life. I'd like to be with someone else other than me, but I'm me. So I don't really have a choice in this. But it is interesting that I'm getting questions for picking. Like, and by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. CC Smalls, wasn't Greeny one of the people, like Kmart, who we love, that complained, and Q Myers, that complained they weren't on our draft? Didn't Greeny complain about that?
Greeny did complain about it.
There were some people that took their issue with us about not being picked in our personality drafts. I know Greeny was one. Kmart was one. Q Myers was one. Do we have anybody else?
I think, like, Emmett complained. So, yeah, but, like, Greeny, listen, I love Greeny. Worked with him for a bunch of years. But, like, Greeny does that thing where, like, I want to be, like, picked, but I actually don't want to do any of this stuff with you guys. Right? Like, he wants to be invited to the
party, but he doesn't necessarily
Exactly, because he's still complaining about, you know, when you guys were up here enjoying Vegas East during the Super Bowl week, he's still complaining about that dinner that we went out to, and there was no show dinner for them, even though he wasn't in Connecticut.
He wasn't there!
Exactly. Like, but he's still complaining about that. It's like, because you didn't ask me.
Yeah. All right. Well, all right. Glad we got that figured out, kind of.
Do you think real quick that Greeny is coming to this conclusion because the last party he threw, at least the one that we know about, was for the Jets season to open.
Yeah.
And then Aaron Rodgers went down four plays in, and that party went from really exciting and fun to just a depth of despair quickly.
Talk about sucking the air out of the room.
Yeah. So maybe, Evan, he's just coming to this conclusion based on what I'm assuming was his last ESPN party that didn't go so well. Yeah.
You guys would have like a great book club, maybe.
Book club. Love a book club, actually. Reading is so cool. Oh,
Smalls is actually in a book club. Yeah.
I'm in a book club, yeah. Lessons in Chemistry, great book.
Okay.
Recommend. Right. 12 out of 10.
Lessons in Chemistry?
Last book we read, yeah.
About science.
Yeah, I know, I understand that.
It is about science, actually.
It is, really?
It's about chemistry. It's about, well, not to spoil it, but it's about...
don't worry, okay. I think CC and I are good.
Chemical equations now?
It's about a woman who's a chemist who overcomes a lot and becomes a chef on a very popular cooking show, but the cooking show is all about chemistry. And it's about her life and the things that happen in her life and her family. It's very, very good. And they adapted it into a television show on Apple.
This book sounds terrible.
It's very good.
I write that.
It's about a scientist chef.
I just fell asleep.
If I was to give you all the twists and turns in the book, it would be a spoiler alert.
Yeah, I
you know,
you
know
one,
who
man.
Read the book and loved it? Greeny. I saw Greeny post about it. And Greeny said it was one of the best books he's read in years. So Greeny can come to my book club meeting and we'll talk about lessons in chemistry.
Yeah, well, that feels like a hard pass to me.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd love it. Watch it on Apple. Watch the preview on Apple. I think you'd like that better. Okay. But it's very good.
All right.
Yeah. Beautifully written book.
Sounds amazing. All right. This Houston Texans made a move in getting Steph Diggs that now has us all excited about this season even more than we already were with the Texans. But let's do the $1 bet, ESPN bet. You had to pick someone right now, or a team. You have to pick one team, and that's your one team you're going to guarantee is going to win their division in the NFL based on what we've seen so far this offseason pre-draft. So obviously this could change. You got a $1 bet, ESPN bet, one lock. Which team, which division?
The team that just traded away Steph Diggs, the Buffalo Bills.
You're picking them to win.
Lock.
Wow.
Lock it up. Lock it up. The Buffalo Bills. I don't believe in the Miami Dolphins. Look at the exodus on the defensive side of the ball with their talent. Just look at it. And then you talk about a team that only had one win against a team with a winning record in, what, seven tries last year in Miami? Then you got the New York Jets, what's understood ain't got to be said. Then the New England Patriots are going through a full rebuild with Gerard Mayo and Elliott Wolf succeeding Bill Belichick. So, yeah, the Buffalo Bills by default are going to win the AFC East. Like, there's a reason why Josh Allen is still second when it comes to the odds-on favorites to win MVP next year, even without Steph Diggs. It's because they know that he's going to play well and his team is going to win the division. You don't win the MVP without winning your division. It's one of those unwritten rules. So, yeah, that is going to happen. The Buffalo Bills are going to win the AFC East.
I am somebody who learns from my mistakes. And last year, I was down on the Kansas City Chiefs, really down on them. I'm picking the Chiefs. I don't know how you cannot look at the AFC West and pick the Kansas City Chiefs to win that division. I don't know what Denver's doing at quarterback. Same with the Raiders, even though Antonio Pierce seemingly has that team turned in the right direction. And while Jim Harbaugh is with the Chargers, and we know Justin Herbert is a threat that could only potentially become more of a threat now that Harbaugh's his coach, there are some questions that they have as far as talent construction is concerned on that roster, and I don't know if they're going to have immediate success there. Looking at that division, I think the Kansas City Chiefs is the safest pick that I could make.
I don't know how this is possible from someone like myself that has been a Josh Allen or accused of being a Josh Allen hater and lover of Mahomes. I agree with CC way more than I agree with Smalls on this. Like, it's weird to doubt the Chiefs, but I don't believe winning the division is a prereq for them winning the Super Bowl. Like, they don't have to win the division. They just have to get in the playoffs.
Who in that division do you
Chargers.
Think?
Chargers.
Okay.
Like, it's easier for me to envision the Chargers winning the AFC West because the regular season doesn't matter to Kansas City than it is for me currently to envision one of the other three teams in the AFC East outside of Buffalo winning the AFC East. I know that may sound ridiculous, but
that's... It doesn't.
I just, like, okay, so the Chiefs go 11-6. They finish in second place wild card. You're still picking them to win the Super Bowl. Who cares, right? Like, it, you know, I mean, 12 wins is a lot, obviously, for the Chargers this year. The team that I was going to go with, and I know CeCe's going to disagree with this because he said the window was 1 year last year, but I'm still going with the Niners in the NFC West.
Oh,
I still think, and I like the Rams a lot. I still think I'm going to go with the Niners NFC West, and if I had to give you one lock to win the division, that's where I'm going to go. Yes, this Brandon Ayuk situation is a little weird. Are they going to bring him back? Are they going to extend him? Are they going to trade him? What's going to happen there? They've lost some guys in the defense. I get it. But they're getting the safety back. CeCe, tell me his name because I always say it wrong.
Talanoa Hufanga.
Yeah, he's awesome. And they got to the Super Bowl without him last year. I'll give you my lock at San Francisco.
I'm kind of surprised that none of us picked the Falcons in the NFC South. I know that Tampa Bay was resurgent last year, but that was my second pick, is to go with the Falcons in the NFC South. On paper, it feels like they should absolutely be a lock to win that division.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The Chiefs and the 49ers are the strongest betting favorites to win their divisions. Falcons, I mean, the Falcons are betting favorites, but, I mean, Tampa Bay is right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting. The Miami Dolphins, I guess, are closer to the Buffalo Bills than, you know, we're framing it out to be. You know, they say when you look in the rearview mirror, objects are closer than they appear. I guess the Miami Dolphins are right there. I don't know what they're basing that on, because they've gone through a talent drain on the defensive side of the ball. They lost Jerome Baker. They lost Christian Wilkins. They lost Xavier Howard. They lost a lot of pieces. And then you consider what the offensive line is going to be. They lost Rob Hunt, who was a big part of that in free agency. I don't trust that Tua is going to be able to help them overcome all of those losses. And then we also have to consider that last year, in terms of him staying healthy, was the outlier in comparison to the other three years of his career. So I don't know. There's a lot of skepticism when it comes to what the Dolphins can be. And then on top of that, you're talking about a team that only had one win against teams with winning records.
And after that,
that's the big one. Yeah.
Yeah. After that talent drain, how do I expect them to be better and be able to beat more teams with a winning record this year than they did last year?
888-SAY-ESPN, the one lock to win their division so far this offseason. If you're going to pick one team to win their division in the NFL, which one is it going to be? Which one is your one lock? Coming up, we'll get to I'm Over It with Pat. But first, picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open. You're ready to begin. And the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book your room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, each and every day this time, Pat Costello, our producer, gives us items around sports, entertainment, and his life that he's over. Go ahead, Pat.
Michelle, we may disagree over the Rams, but I think we can come together on the fact that what's happening with the Oakland Athletics is a complete and absolute joke and a complete embarrassment. Like, to take a franchise that is this great and proud history and a passionate fan base and reduce them to like the biggest laughingstock in North American sports basically is such a shame. And for Rob Manfred, this is just a complete indictment on him, and for him to let this happen and for this to become such a black eye for baseball is just a complete joke.
Pat and I coming together in solidarity on a Friday was not on my bingo card, but I absolutely love it. Pat, you are so right. What's happening with the A's, what's been happening with the A's, is an absolute embarrassment. Major League Baseball should be ashamed. The fact that this has gone on for as long as it has and the state of what it is right now, it's actually unbelievable that this has happened to Oakland and that this is happening to the A's. Yeah. I feel bad for them.
Oh, no doubt. And you know it's a bad look when the spokesperson for the team is selling opponents coming in and hitting home runs as the attraction for coming to watch the A's in Sacramento play baseball. Like, this is
awful. He said, what did he say, Aaron? He was like, I can't wait for people to come watch Aaron Judge hit home runs here.
Can't wait to see it, he said.
Yeah, like, that's the way it was with the Marlins
Aaron
forever.
Judge hit home
Unbelievable.
Runs.
Unbelievable.
What?
The Marlins had that same marketing. Seriously, the Marlins, who have won two World Series since 1997, had the exact same kind of marketing. Come see the Mets, Yankees, Red Sox when they would be in town. Same exact thing. But, Pat, I have one bone to pick with you on this. How can you say the A's have a passionate fan base?
They did for years, for years, for decades.
They don't now.
Yeah, because they've been demoralized.
Yeah, I mean,
why would they go support that organization?
Also, they still have a passionate fan base, and they've passionately hated the ownership for a couple years now, and have tried their best to get the ownership out of there, and they can't do it because the owners stink.
I want to focus on that for a second, Pat. I hate when people will look at a situation like that and blame the fans. No, you vote with your money as a fan. You elect to support a team because you support what ownership is doing. The fact that A's fans have neglected to go to games is them sending a message to ownership and a message to Major League Baseball, and that should not be an indictment on their passion or their support for their team.
Yeah, but there's a part of this thing in professional sports, the economics of where pro sports are going. Like, the city of Oakland needed to do more in terms of helping them to build a new facility there. Like, I'm not saying that the owners aren't a dumpster fire, but the city of Oakland is culpable in this thing to some degree, too. You had more cats in the stands running around in the Coliseum than you did actual fans. Like, that facility has been there since 1966. Like, you can't just keep pro sports teams when you have such a dilapidated ballpark. It's just not going to work. There's a better way to handle it, though. Absolutely better way to handle it than the way that ownership for the A's has handled it. And that's the embarrassment for baseball and Rob Manfred.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Canty, because my next one is the people of America should never have to pay for a billionaire's baseball stadium or football stadium or whatever stadium.
Bingo.
Sorry, billionaires. If you can't afford a stadium, you shouldn't be owning the team. It's a complete joke that we would have to pay for something because you want to make it happen. If you can't afford the team, sell the team. Get out of the sport. You don't deserve it.
Well, that sounds good, Pat, but if somebody else is willing to pay for it, then the billionaire owner is going to go to another city. That's just what it is. Like, I know you don't like it, but that's that billionaire math. You know, Jerry Jones, 1 + 1 = 3. That's how they get to the 3 when everybody else is thinking it's 2. I'm just saying the way they put their hands on the scales and they move the needle when it comes to the economics of the ecosystem that they exist in, that's the attraction for these other cities are willing to pony up when it comes to paying for these ballparks.
I hope they enjoy the no fans that they're going to get in Sacramento and the baseball stadium they're definitely not getting in Las Vegas, even though they have this idea that they're going to go there. It's just not going to happen.
Okay. Pat, they become billionaires by getting other people to pay for things, as you mentioned. I mean, you may not like it, but that's how you become a billionaire. It's like, hey, I want to open a stadium.
That doesn't
you
mean
pay
that,
for it.
I don't blame the people in Kansas City for not wanting to pay for the Chiefs stadium because they have the cheapest owners in the sport. I mean, they were literally voted the worst owners in the sport by the players, and now you want the people of the cities to pay for these stadiums? Yes. It's a complete joke.
I am so with Pat on this one.
Nobody's arguing that, but... Like, if you, as CeCe said, if you can get it done, you get it done.
I don't hate the player. I just hate the game.
Like, right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't hate the player. I just hate the game. Like, I don't like that there are different rules for billionaires and the aristocracy, but that's just the way it is, Pat.
Yeah, but we, the people, should come together and constantly, like Kansas City did, vote against
these
measures.
We, the people, don't have the kind of money that they have, but we don't get to make the rules.
But Kansas City voted against the measure to pay for the stadium, as they should have. I said this when Stan Kroenke turned down over $400 million of public funding in St. Louis to build a multi-billion dollar stadium in LA out of his own pocket, that there would be a ripple effect from that. Because if I'm any other NFL city, why would I pony up my hard-earned money that I'm already giving these billionaire owners for tickets, for merchandise, for parking, for concessions? Why am I footing the bill for your stadium that you're turning a profit on?
Absolutely not. I don't think you're wrong, but I don't think it also matters how we feel. Like, the people in Jackson County out there in Kansas City, they're going to fool around and find out. You like watching Pat Mahomes? Okay. Y'all better build a new stadium, because guess what happens if you don't? it's going to be a problem.
Come on, Canty. Where are the Chiefs going? They're going to Dallas? Because I know the mayor in Dallas is like, hey, we're
Listen,
big enough
with Patrick
to
Mahomes,
take them.
They can go anywhere they want to.
They're not
Hell,
moving.
We can put a third, we can put a third team in New York City if they want to. It don't matter. It's Patrick freaking Mahomes. Just saying.
Why a third team? Why not just get rid of the Jets and put them in there based on some of your analysis recently?
Wow. At least they get a quarterback. At least the Jets get a quarterback.
Finally.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.